Hey, so like an intro before we know our names here, like you go your name, I'll go my name.
Just my name.
Yeah, just your name, like, and then we'll go the kind of the whys.
Okay.
Ooh, got my back. Let's not talk about my back. I threw it out in the shower.
Of course.
There's no reason to be rude. Okay. We're just starting this thing.
All right. Okay, my name's Jillian Mormont.
Good call. And mine is Maximilian Mormont.
Yep, we're here to talk about like the benefits and the challenges of working together, raising a family together, being married, and just living the life together.
Yeah, exactly. We're here specifically together to tell everybody it's not really that hard, but it's super effing hard. So we're going to go through this journey together. We're going to be real raw, and we're going to talk about our family, our business, our interactions, bedroom life, all life, whoa, kids throwing up, you name it, we got it. We're going to talk about it.
You sort of stole my idea, but that's cool. All right.
Seems like there's more parts too you can get. Yeah. See there too, I found out that's how they line up the actual audio with the video. So they look for that clap spike and they line them up, and that's how they edit it together.
This is high tech.
I guess. I mean,
I just not thought Mikey was doing it for me.
Not when someone like me can figure it out by asking just a few questions. But it's horrible when you suddenly realize that that's why. That's why they actually have the little clap thing.
Oh, you mean like this? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one. Nope. Oh, hey, what's up?
Holler. Yeah, I get it, Mike.
Holler.
I get it. No, he has that so that way he can say he has a girlfriend.
No.
Why do you keep touching the mic?
It keeps sinking down. It wants me to sit like this, and it's really annoying. So I want it up high. My back really hurts. Remember, I got hip flexoritis. All right. So episode two?
Three.
Sweet. Yeah.
Episode right. Three.
3 months in. I'm Maximilian Mormont.
Yep. I'm still Jillian.
You're still Jillian. You still go by Formanek, or what do you go
only
by?
On Instagram.
Only on the Insta.
So mad at me about that.
And then, you like our little format last time?
Yeah, it was good.
Guy. Yeah. And then we're going to kind of do the same thing, kind of go through some more topics.
Yep.
Okay, all right. And then how are you doing right now? Because you got, what, like a 6 months old? What do you got going on?
No, I have Well, no, he's almost 7 months. You have one, too.
I do. I do.
Even though I know that I sleep more like I have a seventh-month-old.
I actually don't really sleep at all. I sleep more like I have a seventh-month-old. Yeah. But you don't.
What about this morning? I was like at 4 a.m. I was like, I'm not getting him.
The best was like I've been trying to do this 4:30 wake up, and I was like, had him, no problem. And I was like, oh, this is the answer. Me and him up 4:15. I was so excited. And then he was like bright eyed and bushy tail. And I was like, shit, we're going back to bed, dude. I ain't going to teach you this habit. So yeah, I was like just sitting there. I had one like little ear thing in, got a little audio in, little audio
he's
book.
He's just been trying to help you out.
By
waking up, no one knew it.
But I don't want to get in trouble inside the house, because then I get in trouble that the house is waking up because I'm waking up.
The house is waking up because you're waking up. You take a shower and like make coffee, and then you like empty your espresso thing, like womp 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 at like 5 a.m. Like me, I'm like a mouse.
Those kids fall asleep inside the gym, so there's no way.
Yeah, but that's when they fall asleep inside the gym. They're not like asleep, and then we put them in a noisy gym and say, stay asleep.
They're like 100 generations of like farmers. So they're just accustomed to waking up in the sun.
You're just making that up.
The sun comes up.
How do you know? They're half me. I'm not farmers.
Yeah. You don't know. You don't really know. It goes like you go back one lineage and then it goes.
You just say my family didn't track. I know where my grandpa is from.
Yeah, because at one point you told me you were Irish.
I am Irish.
And then you told me you were Czech.
Yeah, I'm Irish, but my dad's last name is Czech.
So then you're Czech.
I have Czech in me.
Okay.
But like most of my...
Hey, yo.
Most of my heritage is Irish.
Okay. Hence, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So, awkward. No. So when we look at our first topic here, what is that? I can't even see this board. Oh, the worst thing you can do.
Well, I don't know why. This is like the worst topic.
I think it's a great topic because for me, a worst thing you could do in a relationship.
Wait, so we're talking about relationships.
Relationship. The worst thing you could do.
So that's real broad.
I mean, I think it's a lot of things, right? But yeah. I would say that the worst thing for me in a relationship, the worst thing you could do is cheat on somebody.
Oh, I see where we're going with this.
Why?
Yeah.
What do you mean? What do you mean? What I see where we're going with this, Jillian. What's the worst thing for you in a relationship?
No, that's fine. But...
Be honest.
So you think cheating is the worst?
Yeah, I think it's actually the worst thing for the other person. Not necessarily the person that's cheating. That person's an asshole because they're gonna.
The person that's cheating, they get double the bonus.
Right, right. So they're double dipping. They're double dipping.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, they're actually at some point gonna come and just wash it off their conscience. They're gonna be so guilty with it that they're gonna come to the other person and be like, "Hey, I got something to tell you. I've been cheating. I'm over this." And then it's up to the other person to actually fucking deal with it, right?
Yeah.
So that's pretty bad. That's hard. Because then it's up to you. Then like, you have to be the better person to be like, "Hey, you fucked somebody else, but you know what? I'm okay with it," which is fine. And I would rather, like, now saying it here, if you do cheat and it's like a one-time deal, hey, and you're moving on.
We could just tell each other.
Do not tell me. Do not tell me. Do not tell me if it was just a thing. I don't need to know.
We're in the trust tree.
Hey, just know I just don't care. All right? I do, but I don't.
Right.
And I love you enough.
You're straight yelling at me.
Okay, but I'm excited about it. But what's yours?
Well, no.
What's the worst thing?
I mean, first of all,
I railroaded you with this question.
Yeah, we've had this conversation before. And you said, "Oh, cheating's the worst thing." But then it's like really bad if you choose to stay. And I was like, well, I think the worst thing would just be to kill the other person. And you didn't even know what to do with that. Like, you thought I was insane. And I was like, well,
Mom,
you could.
You heard it.
You could.
You heard it.
Like, cheating is bad, but I mean, murder is worse.
Obviously, murder is worse. That's like saying, oh, like cutting somebody's pee-pee off while they're sleeping is horrible. Yeah, of course it's bad. That's like the next level. The next level.
I don't know.
So murder.
Obviously. Like, if we're looking at the worst thing you could do.
But is it, though? I mean, what happens if the other person, like, just made you so upset?
No, it's murder, dude.
And then, but now you have to live your whole life knowing that you just killed the person that you hated so much. And now you have to live.
Vindicated.
And then you have to live for the rest of your life inside of, like, this. This, like, cell.
No, dude.
That's horrible.
No, how did that conversation even start? Because I feel like it started under different, like, pretense. Where, like, we were talking about domestic abuse. That's what we were talking about. Because we were talking about the NFL and how it was, like, all this domestic abuse. And then how it was okay. It was more acceptable to like beat your wife than to do steroids or whatever.
Absolutely was.
Performance enhancer.
PEDs. PEDs. Yeah. Uh-oh. Not it. Hey, so that's another interesting situation.
And then I said, well, it's technically worse to beat your wife. And you're like, well, no, I mean, the wife is choosing to stay. I'm like, no, she's not choosing to stay if she gets murdered. That's where it came from. Like, that's how that conversation started.
Well, what about taboo in the sense of how at one point in the NFL, it was easier taboo to say that, oh, these individuals beat their wife versus these individuals are taking PEDs?
Yeah, apparently. But, I mean, now they're trying to, like, shine a light on it. They've got, like, a...
Well, that's because they had video on it and actually people saw it and they're like, social media, that's not good. That's not good.
Social media ruining people's plans.
Yeah. Well, I think that's actually a good thing. And that's funny that you bring up social media here, because our next topic kind of revolves around the idea of our family, right? And this idea of screen time. So we talk about this a lot.
Yeah, well, screen time, I feel like, is like a hot topic. It's like a it's a buzzword, you know? Especially once you become a parent. Like, no one thinks about their own screen time when they're single or have no kids. And guarantee, like, like you're on your phone 7 to 12 hours a day, you know, like, or in front of a screen of some kind, but like no one gives a shit about their own. And then all of a sudden they have a kid and they're like, oh, gotta monitor that screen time. And you're like, well, I mean, yes, yes, but like, let's at least monitor the whole family screen time.
Yeah, because most of those people are still like either watching something on Netflix or on TV, watching sports.
Yeah.
Not just their phone, but probably also watching movies, things of that nature, well, yeah, playing computer games.
I mean, it's hard to not have it, like in today's day and age.
Today's climate.
No, that doesn't work there. Today's day and age. Because, like, I mean, at work, you work on computer, that's screen time, you know? Like, and then at home, you watch TV, that's screen time. Like, most people don't even read the newspaper anymore. They read the news either on their computer or on their phone, you know?
Did you ever see that picture? I wonder if, Mike, you can find that. There was a, like, a social media picture. I think it was actually Gary Vee or somebody put it out that he had talking about screen time and how people are like, oh, the bullshit of the phone, and it's killing us, and it's separating our society. And then they showed a picture of the subway with people on their cell phones, and right next to it, they showed a black and white picture of everybody on the subway looking at newspapers. And it looked fucking identical. Like, well, identical. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, but the bummer about that is, like, one, it's not great for your brain to do that much. And then two, like, just because you're looking at your phone doesn't mean you're reading the news. Where in the past, like, if you're reading a newspaper, you're reading the news, you know.
Well, no, so you could have been reading the tabloids and stuff for the funnies.
Yeah,
you know, not necessarily
the funnies,
but, you know, not necessarily actually.
Here comes Lucero.
I know, he's like hovering, but not necessarily actually just reading news. But I do think that, like, for me personally, since I've gone on to social media and actually been doing my little...
Oh, there you go. Wow, Mike, that was good. Good
right?
job, dude.
That looks... To me, it's
Stop
not...
Stop sharing this photo of antisocial news.
But I really do feel strongly about this because I don't necessarily think that we're getting... Now, look, the way we're getting our information, the amount of information, whether it's right or wrong... Because it's pooped out there, and if you get enough of it. But then now everybody can put a lot of information out there, whereas before it was only set to those actual big newspaper companies.
Yeah.
Whereas they controlled the media. Now if you have the will and the bandwidth to put it out, then you control your own media, right?
Yeah.
So that to me is pretty cool. I also do really feel that for me personally, again, when I started doing this social media stuff, I didn't really realize, like, I actually use my phone less now because when I actually use my phone, I put my stuff on it and then I put it down. So before I was close to almost like 8 hours on there and now I'm at 6, but I also used to play a lot of Clash of Clans.
Right.
So I was using it as a video game situation.
So now you're using it more like work.
Work only. And then I just now don't associate the same object because that's how I create habits too. I put it in a certain area. So that's why I have the 3 screens upstairs where I work on programming and actual gym work. And then downstairs is my other one where I work on more of like media type stuff or other BS.
Yeah, I don't exactly know why we have so many computer stations in our house. But
well, it's because, again, I build habits based off of stations. Everything is based off of a habit for me and a station. But our kids, right? So
yeah, so kids.
Screen time for kids, I call bullshit.
Well, I don't understand. I don't know all the science behind it because I understand like it works different, you know, like your brain processes it differently, like when you're looking at like a phone versus print, and like things are triggered differently. But I don't.
Yeah, like
I'm
touching
not a,
it.
I'm not a neuroscientist, you know. But I do know that screen time and like the blue light of it, you know, affects your melatonin levels. So like that's why you're not supposed to watch TV when you go to bed, things like that. But just
take more melatonin.
just for the pure fact of not becoming like, I get it with kids causing antisocialness. Is that a word? I don't know.
Sure.
Or like, it's so much easier just to like disengage and go into a game or a video or whatever than to like get out there and try and like learn those essential social skills. Where us, like, we didn't have that growing up. So like now if we're antisocial on phones, we still at least were like forced into developing those social skills as kids. You know, like we went outside and played and we went to school and like it was a whole bunch of different challenges we had to overcome. Where I think nowadays kids that are like on the phone or on the iPad or on the tablet so early without limitations, or at least without like being encouraged to like do other things, you know, then they miss out on some of those developmental milestones.
Yeah, like for sure they should have like time where they're watching TV or they're playing on their iPad, and then they have time where they're just playing around and running around and gymnastics and all that type of stuff. But I don't think a lot of parents have the ability to like bring their kid to a gym or to bring their kid to a park, because you know how we hate going to the park.
Yeah, but that's fine. But other parents have different resources that we don't have, you know, like, so say like taking your kids to 5 activities a week, like that's going to cost probably more money than is in our budget right now, you know? Absolutely. And so like we use bringing him to the gym as like a supplementation of an activity that we would do outside.
Penny pinching.
It's like we're cutting coupons, you know?
Here, son, this is your gymnastics class. Yeah. But this is just mom. Yeah, that's okay. Tumble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, we still do gymnastics. We do swim. Like things that like we can't provide him here or at the park or at home, you know? But like I think that that is, you know, it's just like using what you have. But it, as far as like a time limit on screen time, I don't know if there's like a set prescription that's correct, like 30 minutes or an hour or 3 hours, because I think it depends on the kid's personality.
Yep.
Because it took Milo a while to even care about it, you know. Now, and it's even now, it's like every couple of days he'll try and like go deep in there, you know. But then for the most part he is like 15-20 minutes and he's like, okay, I'm gonna go do something else, you know?
Whereas Malcolm might be different, where we're like, hey, get out, do something.
Yeah. So I feel like if it's, I feel like the only issue is if it's like becoming something of like a hindrance to their development or like their social interaction, like their social emotional development, you know, like then yeah, you gotta look at that. But that's probably being created from the parents, whether the parents are at home just on their phone looking at whatever while the kids are seeing it, or you know, like that's what they're learning somewhere.
Yeah, or like us, how we buy time with the iPad.
Yeah,
like,
sometimes you gotta take a shower.
Yeah, no, I buy time with it. That's how that's actually how I buy time. Like I'm gonna buy 30 minutes or 20 minutes or 15 minutes, whatever I need to do with the iPad. Yeah,
the
for sure.
The one good thing though I will say about the iPad for Milo, who's like a high energy child, is that sometimes it does kind of calm him down. And I don't mean like, oh, hey, do this and calm down. Like it just, like he gets like so overstimulated sometimes that he has trouble like even understanding what it means to calm down. Like we could be like, hey, sit here for 1 minute and don't talk and don't touch anything. Oof. You know, and that's like, he gets to a point sometimes that that's hard for him or even not possible. And so like if you give him 5 minutes on the iPad, like it at least calms his body down a little bit, and then we can kind of jump back into what we were doing.
Yeah.
So I do see a benefit in that respect.
Because he is a throttle kid. Like it starts like,
yeah, so are you, dude. Yeah. It makes me laugh too every single time because like you're such a like a let's go. Like you get him so worked up. Like you wrestle at 8:30 at night and then you're like, okay, time for bed, calm down.
Yeah, getting rid of his energy.
No, dude.
Getting rid of his energy.
It doesn't work like that. So you get him so throttled up and then like you're like, okay, I'm ready to move on. Yeah. Let's calm down. And he's like, what? You know?
That's what we're working on.
Dude.
We got to understand.
Every time. Well, we got to understand.
That's what we're working on. That's the beauty of it, right? The best is like some people like will look at me when I talk to him because I talk to him like a normal person. I don't talk to him like a 4-year-old. And they just look at me like I'm crazy. And I'm just like, well, you know, he's mine. And I respect him like he respects me.
Yeah.
So it's important.
It is too like interesting. And I just learned this year that like when kids play with things that are like of nature items, that it stimulates different like brain waves or whatever, you know, like different brain signals, like than playing with like plastic or doing screen time or something like that. So you could have like a plastic set of blocks, you know, and they build and it's like obviously doing good things for them because they're like tactile and hands-on and using imagination, but then you give them like a set of rocks and make them build something out of that, and it's like a different It's like a different signal that gets sent to their brain.
It's crazy how we've always been real kind of almost artsy and like dancey with Milo and also Malcolm. But we're not like, my parents are Latin and they've kind of always been really like enthusiastic about dancing, but they're not musically talented and they're not like into that type of stuff.
Well, I was raised outside for sure.
Yeah, I was definitely raised outside, but I definitely wasn't raised with the idea of music, art.
No, that's not what I was talking about.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's the kind of stimulus that we're giving him.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't
know.
That's
exactly what you were talking about in my mind.
I feel bad. Like,
fuck. Thanks, G.
I'm just saying. I was talking about nature.
That's what I'm saying, though. Is that we? But that nature idea is that naturally we've been giving those type of stimulus to Milo. Like, we've given him art. We've given him music. We've given him play with the poop rocks. We've given him play outside. With all kinds of stuff, anywhere from sports to playing in the mud, playing with water. He has like a water kit. He's always had like a water tub to play with. You know? He even had a sandbox at one point.
Yeah, that was the worst.
And that thing's gone now.
Huh? Yeah, it's gone. We had to hide it. There was just sand everywhere. Sand in every room of the house.
I mean, you go pick him up from school and he has sand in him.
That's because they have a mud kitchen at the school, which is great. But he really discovered his passion for mud this year.
and then, okay, well, I feel like the screen topic can continue forever.
Like I said, it's like a buzzword nowadays.
But I do, the bottom line is that it's important to allow your kid to explore and stay current at the same time understanding to be active and interactive with other humans.
Yeah, just develop, like, in a way you can interact with other human beings. Because, I mean, like, it's essential for life, you know?
Yeah, because something that I'm getting a lot of lately is when people come in or, like, come and meet me or I meet them, I'm always very, very adamant about saying, hi, my name is Max. Hi, my name is Max. And sometimes I get people that don't actually say their name.
Yeah, that blows my mind. I'm always like it happens all the time here. Like, hey, I'm Julian. How can I help you? Hi, I was looking for membership dues.
And I have to actually stop them and say,
like, okay,
I'm sorry, what was your name? And I feel like such an asshole, but I actually make sure that everybody always tells me their name. Yeah. Do you think that's also part of too much screen time? You think that's
No, that's like an introvert thing, I think.
But that's like a lot of people these days where I feel like that was just a natural thing to say hi, say your name.
Whereas, yeah, I don't know.
Is that a Californian thing?
I do get that a lot, though, but I don't know. I'm always like I lose my train of thought.
I just straight up tell them.
I don't know where to go from
start
there.
Start telling them, hey, you didn't tell me your name. It baffles them. They're like, oh, shit, you called me on my bullshit.
Yeah.
All right, so good deal. So basically, let your kids use the screen time. Don't be shy of social media. But monitor that shit. Get them out there. Let them have fun. Play with water.
Yeah,
play with dirt.
Like common sense, you know.
Let them get muddy, which is like I hate it. Especially like don't let any free eat around the couch.
Then your couch gets free eat, especially Hawaiian sweet rolls, dude. That's my favorite.
All right.
Okay. And then, he's always like, "Mom, can I have a roll?" Like, yep, go take this and run around the house and get crumbs everywhere, just so Dad gets mad.
Let your dad know. All right. Okay. And then we'll talk about free eating as a topic.
I've always been a free eater. That's all right.
I feel like I got a lot more rules than I had when I was a
Mikey
kid.
Mikey disapproves.
Thank you. Thank you. I
feel like maybe I just grew up like
nothing
Lord
worse
of the Flies
than watching your kid chew on like a blackberry, like a squirrel.
Does he do that?
Oh, yeah. Just in his hand. In his hand. And then you see this blackberry juice go all over his hand. He goes, huh. And wipes it on the chair. And you're like, no, that stains. And he's like, sorry, I know. And you're like, well, and my new one is, if you know, you know.
Yeah,
and
I've been playing that.
If you play that rap song now, I've been playing that song for him now.
Dude, he's always like, his new one is, he goes, yes, I know. And you're like, oh,
if you know, you know.
So frustrating. But those are two equally invalid statements. Like, you guys are just having a battle of wills.
Like, that was like the other night where everybody passed out. Everybody went to sleep. And he told me, hey, I'm going to stay up. Let's go downstairs and watch.
I'm going to stay up all night.
I'm going to stay up all night. I want to go downstairs and watch TV. And instead of having a battle with him, I said, okay. And we
went... 5 minutes later, he's passed out.
And we went downstairs, and we both passed out on the couch, full standoff style. And
dude,
he was I'm not going upstairs. I said, I'm not going upstairs. And we slept fine. So the other thing we wanted to talk about kind of is our work and how we interact with this idea of, we're just going to do this one quickly, more so like my general manager role and your
operations manager.
So neither of us really like managing. We both kind of did it in corporate settings. We're really good at like SOPs. We're both kids that I would say came from parents that had jobs that like provided them an hourly or a salary wage.
Yeah. I feel like both our moms were like administrators at one point.
Highly educated.
But then went back to being teachers because they also were like, I don't want to deal with all the politics of being in charge.
Well, I also think too, we didn't really see a lot of like entrepreneurship growing up. Like we didn't really see.
No, well, I don't think it was like as prevalent, you know, or as accessible to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Because I mean, I wish that somebody would have told me early in my life, and I always say this, that, hey man, being the garbage man is actually a really good job. He makes 100K a year. He has phenomenal health care, and then he has retirement. So, you know, those type of topics were never told to me, where now at 40 years old, I'm trying to figure it out and putting them together. I mean, luckily I was building a 401K early, not that it has a lot.
Well, we were of the generation too, where it was like blue collar work was like almost like frowned upon, and you had to get a college education and be like, you got to do this. And is blue collar like garbage man, right?
No, that's our gym, and that's really our like our fitness team. That's all everything we revolve around ourselves. Even the professional athletes we work with, they're always blue collar athletes. Yes.
Right,
they're
but that, I'm workers. Saying that right, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And white collar is like business people. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So like, we were.
No, I'm joking.
At least I was. I feel like me and where I was raised. I mean, and our parents were more like blue collar workers, but then they like were like, hey, the only way you're gonna succeed in this world is like get a college education, get a higher upper management job, and like do it, you know? And that there was not always a path that all of us took. Like my mom still to this day is like, well, you're just on a different path than I imagined.
Well, I think about like the other day my mom was like, hey, you know what, I feel guilty. I feel like I should pay back your school because you finished it and then you never actually like had needed to do anything with it. And I feel like you actually went to school because I wanted you to school. And I was like, kind of mom, but don't worry. It was important. It was important.
I mean, like getting a degree, like going to college, whether you get a degree or not, you don't, like it still teaches you like important things, you know, it still teaches you like setting goals and accomplishing them. It teaches you how to live on your own, teaches you how to like start like saving your own money, like really, I mean, there's a lot of like life lessons you learn from that, but that's what I mean. Like being an entrepreneur was never like given to us as an option. Even like in high school with the guidance counselor, you know, they were like, what do you want to be? And like on that list, it was never like, check this entrepreneur box, you know, it was just like, I want to be a vet or a doctor or astronaut
president,
or whatever, you know, but it was always like in the same like progressive line. Like I'm going to graduate high school. I'm going to pick a college. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to get good grades. I'm going to graduate college. And then I'm going to get a job. I'm going to work. I'm going to retire. You know, it's like never been like all of this idea of like, I'm going to work until I'm 75 or 80 and I'm going to make all this like residual income and you know, things like this. Like I'm going to set up systems that are going to continue to support me past retirement. Like that was just never taught to us. And no fault to our parents' generation. Like I think that, you know, like every generation like works with what they were given. So like you look at our parents coming out of like being raised from like the war, you know, and then we were raised from what they learned, and then now hopefully Milo and Malcolm and our kids' generation will be raised with kind of like a blended, you know, like idea of both.
For sure, for sure. And then when you think of like that and then putting it into our actual roles, right? I think of my general manager role. I mean, I'm in charge of like quite a bit of things, but at the same time not a lot. I really like my job because I really am someone that likes to try to create ownership. So those around me that are here and then employed by us or by me have to have ownership of their job. I don't really have a big staff. I don't really think I'll ever have a big staff again because we grew out pretty big at one point.
Yeah.
I really like the family vibe.
Yeah, but this is for sure the best we've ever worked together, like in terms of like the group of us.
Well, yeah, and I think this is the first time that the group actually wants to sell, like wants to be sales.
Or
like,
wants to grow.
Yeah, wants to like, or yeah. wants to get the message out. Like, because I really think that we want to sell mostly because we want to tell people how phenomenal it is here. Like, yeah. hey, this is amazing. This product that we're doing at Costa Mesa is just an amazing product. You're going to change. You're going to become something special. You know, you're going to be different than what you were before.
Yeah.
And, so for me as a general manager, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I just think in the, like, it's easy to get jaded with a place like this or a job like this, you know, and to like lose that fire of like wanting to continuously spread the message of like, you know, like what we're doing. And like, it's also hard to wake up every day and come in and be like, I'm super pumped to watch people run 100 meters at a time, you know, like, like, but like, that's where I feel like we've really gotten it down. Like we've boiled it down to like the few that are pumped to still day in and day out, regardless of the workout, regardless of the warm up, regardless of who's in the class. Like they can always like really like come in and bring the same kind of energy and the same kind of intensity. I mean, granted you have to adjust a little bit, but like, the same kind of passion.
I think we're also really good at not really showing people how much we actually grind. So like people don't really realize that, hey, we don't really make much. We make a really good living from the gym, but the majority of our living doesn't come from the gym.
Well, no, it's also like, I mean, trying
to... Because I think some people walk in here and they see this like 12,000 square feet, 60 single parking spots, a PT clinic in the back, ice baths, and all this.
And they see my Hyundai.
And they see your Hyundai, and then they see my 10-year-old Toyota that's like, when it comes in, and they're like, what's wrong? These guys are really penny-pinching, and then our kids are running around here because we can't take them to karate.
If you say it like that, yeah, that sounds bad. I feel like we just bring our kids in because we want our kids to grow up in a gym.
But we don't bring them when we train.
How badass is that? Yeah, no.
Yeah. Sometimes when we work. Sorry, guys.
Anyways.
Sorry, not, guys. That's more of a daycare situation.
You're just yelling at me nonstop right now. I would say, like, the grind is more like, hey, I'm doing the same thing for 5 hours at a time. You know, like, and they, maybe people don't realize, like, if you come to the 6 a.m. class and you come to the 9 a.m. class, the warm-up is going to be exactly the same. I say the same thing 5 times in a row, you know? But I like that because it keeps, like, a consistency in the product. But I also pride myself on not seeming like I've said it 4 times before, you know? Like, I'm not just like, okay, guys, well, we're going to run a 200, you know? Like,
yeah, like, for sure.
Yep.
For sure. So, what do you do? So, like, for me, my job is more, like, keep us moving, make sure we pay rent, make sure we have all the money in place at the end of the month, right. Make sure people are getting paid, make sure we're driving the business.
Like, what do I do as an operations
manager? I program. I make sure the class flow goes well, restructure the gym if we don't like it, constantly move shit around, try to add new amenities, not really do real well at that, and things like that. So that's kind of more of what I do, and then try to keep people happy around here, employees, and also, like, worker or members. But what do you do?
Well, my job's not so glamorous, apparently.
Yours is super glamorous, because aren't you like the first point of contact?
Well, yeah, I would say I'm like the member liaison. That's like, I mean, when you are an operations manager of a gym, I'd say like that's your biggest operation is your members, you know? So like, yes, I have to make sure that we pay the bills and like keep the lights on and like all that stuff, but for the most part I get to like talk to people when they call or email, when they're interested in membership, and then get them set up on the right path, whether that's like into an onboarding or into a group class if they have previous experience. Get them set up wherever they need to get into CrossFit Costa Mesa. And then beyond that, I'm just like the point of contact for them going forward, you know? So, I mean, that's my biggest operational role is making sure our membership base is like taken care of, which sometimes I think like I could do a better job at. There's just so many facets of that job that it's like hard. Like I think that yeah, like the basics are covered, but there's so many cool things that gyms do that would be a good way for me to like continuously keep growing as an operations manager is just by like looking at what other gyms do with their membership base and how we can incorporate that in ours. Because, I mean, it's endless, you know? Like, you can send emails on their birthday, and you can, you know, do like fun things in warm-ups. Like there's just tons of stuff that like a membership person can do that I feel like that's something that I am always being pushed to grow at, and like, I mean, at least trying to grow at.
I feel like we all,
it takes
a
long time. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we always add one thing a year, or one thing every six months. I know it's slow process, but like, we're also pretty like somewhat perfectionist. Like we want things to run well, and then we try different things. If we don't like it, we have to get rid of it. So we waste time doing that shit.
Yeah.
So.
But it's definitely a job that, and then other operational stuff is like, you know, not as glamorous. Are you going to get him?
Yeah.
Not as glamorous, like scheduling and stuff like that. But my most fun part.
Management in general is not glamorous.
Yeah. My most fun part is the members, I'd say.
I wouldn't say it was glamorous at all.
Malcolm's awake, guys. We almost did it.
Oh, God.
I feel like being in management in general is rough. Like,
good thing he's got his...
You know, because for us, like, I think, too, we want to provide. So then, like, you know, like we don't really want to bring people around us because we're trying to provide for ourselves. And then at the same time, we want to provide for everybody else around us. Like, that's a big thing for us, is making sure that as a manager, you know, that idea of us eating last or us making sure that other people do stuff, we're always the first to cut ourselves, salaries and stuff like that.
That was an interesting part too about like learning more about entrepreneurship is like, that's one thing that I think makes a difference between people is like the entrepreneur has the mindset of like the business always gets paid first, you know? And like a manager doesn't always. So it's a weird blend that we're in.
Yeah, that was a really good read.
There you go. Leaders eat last.
That's a good read. I've been into him. Actually, Simon got put onto me by Wes in the sense of the why, because I didn't realize what my why was, because, you know, I have a lot of whys, but my passion is really just to get the message out. And so it's interesting, like it's a weird why, you know? You know?
Yeah.
So, but okay, so
I feel like that's a long topic. And then like a whole other thing we can talk about is like you and me as like a managing together. But that's always not as glamorous as it seems, you know?
Yeah, and it's never good when you have to create a paper trail on each other. And then you have to CC Alec in the middle, poor guy. And
Alec's just like, guys, I don't want to be involved in this. Poor guy.
All right, so last thing, and then we're on our way here. With the training today, I wanted to talk about weight gain.
Weight gain.
So both of us were competitive weightlifters, and both of us had issues gaining weight. Because I was like 206, and then I went all the way up to 231. It took me about 3 years to do so.
Well, you got bigger than that.
Yeah, at one point I was actually, what started the whole journey was I injured my knee. I ballooned up from 185 pounds to 270 pounds, and then I cut all the way down to about 198, 202 at like 4% body fat. And then I got into bodybuilding, and then I was like, ooh, this is stupid. I learned the sport of dieting, and so I moved on from that. And then at
bodybuilding, I think is just
it's amazing, but it really teaches you how
it's a real perfectionist sport.
It teaches you how to sacrifice, and it teaches you how to really diet. And that was something I really appreciate from that sport.
And tan, you know.
Oh, dude, that glow.
Got a draw on those abs.
And then from there, I really started getting into sports development. How do I become a better sports coach? And that's what got me into weightlifting. And then it was hard for me to actually fill out the 105 kilo, 231 weight class. I was 228 for years.
Yeah, that's like about when I met you, was you were like 220. You were like just under the 105.
At one point, I started doing a 1,000 calorie shake while eating, like while sleeping. So I would set my alarm and wake up 4 hours into my sleep, 4 to 5 hours in, pound 1,000 calories, and then go back to sleep.
Yeah, which is probably why you night snack now.
Yeah.
You still do that. You just try not to anymore. Yeah.
I did it for actually probably
Well, what
four
did you
years.
Do to gain weight then? So if you
I did
had
a bunch of
it.
Things. I did what I called the peanut butter and jelly diet sandwich. Peanut butter and jelly
sandwich diet.
Sandwich diet where I ate two peanut butter and jellies a day, And then if you didn't eat it in that day, you had to carry it over.
Yeah, you had me do that for a while, too. Do you want me to take him?
That was a pretty interesting one. And then what? I never really liked the GOMAD diet. I liked the caloric intake diet. So at one point, I got up to eating about 5,500, 6,000 calories. So about 3 to 4 clean and then 2,000 dirty. And I actually ended up having to move back home with my parents because I was spending somewhere close to like $3,000 a month in food. And so I had to actually reach out to my parents and be like, hey.
I feel like eating clean that much is just so much food, you know? Like, that's why I feel like people that are really, that are like gaining weight for a like sports reason, they tend to like do like 65 to 70% clean, like whole foods, you know? And then they're like, F it, dude. Like, we're just gonna fill it in with the rest.
I feel like one thing that I really understood real well was that for every quarter pound of actual mass that I gained, maybe that was actually muscle, but it's very hard to gain weight where people, when they gain 1 to 2 pounds, they actually think that they're gaining 1 to 2 pounds of mass. And they don't realize that 1 pound of mass almost takes a full month to create if you're clean, you know? And so for me, putting on that weight, at one point I started putting on fat, so therefore I could actually put on mass faster. So I would put on like 2 pounds of fat and I'd get like a pound mass in that month.
Of muscle.
Yeah, and so then I'd have to cut that back off, and I think a lot of people just don't really do that. See, this fucking mic always falls.
Yeah, it's real droopy on you. Just start up like real high.
It's like a floppy cock mic. So that's where something that I did personally was monitoring the pound of fat that I gained versus the pound of mass that I was gaining.
Yeah.
And then I was actually just letting myself sacrifice it. So it was okay for gaining mass because the fatter I got, the bigger I got, the more mass I created. And so then it was easier for me to cut down. It was always easier for me to cut versus gaining.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah, because you did the bodybuilding. So you're gonna have a good idea of like how your body reacts to cutting and what works and what doesn't.
I mean, for you, you started at like 105 pounds. And then, like, what are you weighing now?
Like 135. I pretty much sit naturally right around there. Like, when I had both boys, I got up to 170. So I gained about 40 pounds with each pregnancy. But, I mean, like, I sit pretty naturally around 135. So even now, he's, what, almost 7 months, I'm back down to it. I mean, I had trouble, though, because I'm taller for, I mean, when I did weightlifting, I competed as a 58, which is like 128, right around there. But I'm 5'7". So, like, when I would compete, like, everybody that's, everywhere I went, they were all like, well, you should be a 63 or even a 69, you know? And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen for me, you know? Like, that's going to take another 5 years for me to gain that, because I guess I gained like between 105 and 130 within like 2 or 3 years. And I did it just by, one, just even monitoring what I was eating, which already helped, because I came from a background of distance running where, I mean, you don't, like, you should be monitoring what you're eating, but that's not the healthiest sport in terms of eating habits, you know? So you should be. And if I ever coach running, that'll be something that I definitely, like, focus on with my team. But that's beside the point. So I just did it by, like, actually looking at my meals and being honest with, like, okay, I'm saying I'm eating 4 times a day, but I'm really not. You know, I'm only eating twice. So that helped. I did stuff like the peanut butter and jelly diet, too. That doesn't last that long, though. Like, all those, like, little novelty tricks, they only last, like, maybe a month or two, and then you got to move on to something else.
Yeah, you just got to be consistent, willing to work at it. Yeah.
But I did add shakes, like, where you had me add, like, 30% of my protein I got in liquid. You know, that helped a lot for a while. The milk I was never really a fan of, but just eating protein in general, because I was never a big protein eater. And then also, I just never really strength trained. So, like, being able to eat and then supplement with strength training, or strength train and supplement with eating, whichever way you think about it, like, that took a big change on my body. And I'm pretty much the same size as I was back then, like, in terms of clothes and things like that. But I do weigh about 30 pounds heavier.
For me, it was also finding out the importance of insulin. So, like, being able to spike my insulin while eating a bunch of protein and then eating it around training, or just doing it throughout the day or at the end of the night, like, understanding what insulin was doing and what protein was doing was huge for my growth. Like, I feel like that was a big part of my development, was because I was willing to actually focus on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I even set my alarm to where it would go off and then I'd have to eat. You know, I lived out of Tupperware so much that now I won't eat anything out of Tupperware. I won't microwave anything.
You're an elitist now.
Yep, yep.
You want to diet, but you don't meal prep. You're like, I don't want meal prep food. I just want it to be on the ready, prepared for me.
Abracadabra.
Great.
Abracadabra.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I would say that was about my biggest overcoming, was just making sure that I monitored it, watched what I was eating.
Yeah.
Staying consistent.
I had like a different battle being a female. Like, one, you get no sympathy trying to gain weight as a female. And like, that's hard work, dude. Like, it's not a comfortable feeling to be 105 pounds and then being all of a sudden 130 pounds. It's not like for my self-esteem, but just not comfortable. Like, your body has to adjust. And then also everybody you talk to is like, I wish I had that problem.
Yeah.
And you're like, I get it. Like, we all got our own problems. And we do. Like, I mean... Like,
it's so easy to gain weight. I gain weight all the time.
Yeah, obviously, like, I'm not going to have the same battles as the next person.
You're
going to
ask Mike about that.
As the next person. So it's just, that was a weird part of trying to gain weight. Is like, one, telling people, you know? So I just stopped talking about it after a while. Like, I just wouldn't tell people because it's just like it's a tough conversation. Like, people don't understand, especially coming as like a 23 or 24-year-old who... Like, I grew up running, never was an issue. And then I'm an adult, I have a job. Like, now all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm going to gain weight for weightlifting. They're like, what? Like,
yeah.
Stop.
You're not, Must be tough. Yeah.
Like, you don't even know what you're doing, you know? So that was always a tough one. So I just honestly stopped talking about it. And then the only time I really talk about it is I used to get mad at you because you'd tell me I didn't gain weight. And I'm like, well, I gained 30 pounds.
Yeah, I'm also, too, not the most, like, sympathetic person when it comes to it, because I suffered so much trying to gain weight.
Yeah.
That when people can't do it, it's like, well, either you want to or you don't. Like, same thing with cutting weight. Like, I understand why I lean out just to a certain point, and then I don't get to a certain point because I'm a fatty and I like to eat at night, and if I want to stop doing that, I got to physically stop eating it. But there's so many Keebler elves just living in my closet. They're just sitting there working and working. I mean, why? Well, you got to go in there. I can hear them. They're like,
dude,
hello?
That's not even me. I stopped buying snacks because you just were like...
My mom buys them. My mom's still dude. Giving me shit. And then your mom's trying to give me diabetes, bringing 12 boxes of Girl Scout cookies over to the house.
I know.
Bless her heart. I love her.
Your mom like goes to Costco and is like, look what I got for Milo. A 40-pack of Keebler Elves like and Cheez-Its and Scooby-Doo snacks. I was like, you realize that your son's just going to eat those before Milo gets... Milo gets like 12 of the 40. Maybe.
We actually do like a...
Nope.
What's that called? A buffet. We open up like all bags and we do a buffet.
And that's how you gain weight.
So. All right. Well, Jillian.
Science.
Jillian, thank you for hanging out with me again. This little one's getting antsy.
Yeah, dude.
I love you.
She wants to gain some weight.
I know it's tough. And I know we always try to figure it out.
Man.
And I love you.
I love you too.
Why?
It's just your thing, dude.
Bye. Here, take it off.